I'd like to ask you a question. What is the criteria that elders use to hire preachers? Do they look for a certain look? Do they have to have two children or a weird hairstyle? Exactly. So let's look at a passage in the Bible that talks about this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. And here we will look at what is expected of a minister of the gospel of Christ. And this is something every preacher, evangelist, or teacher should ask himself. And this is something every congregation should consider as they evaluate those they support. It reads, "Remind them of these things. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent. Present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, but shun and profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And the message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." So in these verses, there are a couple expectations of ministers. Now, they're not all the expectations, but they're certainly ones that should be true of ministers of the gospel of Christ. So as we read in verse 15, a worker who is approved by God should, as we read in verse 14, remind the brethren. Now, in the Bible, we see a perfect example of a minister approved by God. It's Paul. Early on in this book, in first chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 6, Paul writes to Timothy saying, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Not only did Paul remind people, so did Peter remind his brethren. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it reads, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." Jude also reminded his brethren. He's a perfect example of a minister who reminds his brethren. In Jude chapter 1, verse 5, it reads, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." Ministers that remind the brethren because of the dangerous influence of godly men are reminding things that they already knew. Now, we all hate repetition. We hate being reminded of the chores we have to do, the trash we have to take out, the dishes we have to do, but it helps. It helps remind us of our responsibilities as Christians. So it shouldn't, don't fault the preachers that much when they might recycle a lesson or might say something that they already said before or start sound familiar. Because maybe not everyone in the auditorium knows that, or it's helpful to be reminded. If you didn't need to be reminded, I mean, oftentimes when we leave this service, we don't remember everything from this lesson. You probably don't remember everything when someone cuts you off on the road, or someone comes up to you in a heated argument. So it's helpful to be reminded of these things. As we keep reading in chapter 2, verse 16, we read another expectation of ministers. A minister that charges the brethren. Now, what does this mean? Does this mean that they're supposed to plug us up with a USB and plug us into an outlet? Or actually charge us? No. It means it's a call to action. Paul is a perfect example of someone who charges the brethren. Both books of Timothy is Paul charging Timothy of all the things he's supposed to do and supposed to remember while he's imprisoned. So let's look at what Paul did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us, how you ought to walk and please God." Now Paul did it to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and elect angels, that you should observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality." As we keep reading in Timothy chapter 2, we find another expectation of ministers. They should display diligence. If we keep reading in verse 15 of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Be diligent. I mean, it's not something just ministers should do, but as should all Christians be diligent. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read, "Therefore, since a promise remains entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. We must be diligent to not come short of the heavenly rest that awaits us. We must be diligent to also be found by the Lord in peace, without spot, and blameless," as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Now, this especially relates to the word. Now, Timothy was charged by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, to give attention to doctrine. It reads, "To like come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." He was commanded to take heed to doctrine and make sure that he is teaching what is right and what others are learning are right, according to God's word. Now by applying proper diligence to the word, a worker approved to God also rightly divides the word. We read this in verse 15. It says, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, what does this mean? Now, the word "dividing" used here in Greek is orthotoneo, which means to cut straight, or to cut straight ways, or to proceed straight paths, or to hold a straight course, which means doing right. Now, other versions translate this passage as handling aright the word of truth. Now, what does it mean by how do you handle it correctly? Well, one way, as we read in Hebrews chapter 5, is remembering that meat is for the mature and milk is for the babes. That's why we have these two hallways. We have these hallways that are learning in the books of the Bible, the toddlers, and we have way more intense and in-depth lessons on this hallway. I mean, we're not teaching revelations and all the mysteries of Revelation to the toddlers in the pews and the pew packers. Exactly, that's why we're supposed to be handling it correctly, as we read in Hebrews chapter 5. Now, a worker approved by God will handle the word like a sword, as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Now, the last expectation of ministers, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, is a minister who shuns word battles. Oh, we love word battles. We love debating. But how often are they kind of pointless? Or whose shoes are better, or which pen is the best pen to use? Or sometimes, you know, politics. Oftentimes, those lead to nothing. As I read later on in this chapter, in verse 16 through 18, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of the sort. You see, their message spreads like cancer. They increase in idle babblings, and they strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. These kind of babblings can cause people to fall away. So, wrapping all up, there's so much error and false doctrine in the world, and a minister of the gospel must walk a fine line. He must be diligent in his use of the word to remind and charge the brethren. He must be careful in handling the word with the spiritually immature and those in error. But with the Bible, may these things ever be in the forefront of their minds as they're preaching.